Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 568. Yeah, your mics are open, so don't make some weird noises in the background there, guys. Anyhow, what was this? Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode 568. I'm your host, Christopher Jones, coming to you live from Merritt, British Columbia. How are you guys doing tonight? Introduce the boys. We got the boys. I'm not going to rant. I got nothing to rant about. I haven't even paid attention to football. In fact, it's boring the shit out of me lately. We're going to talk about some of the things that we're dealing with. We've been in the middle of the combines, which I couldn't give a shit about, and now we're going to go into the draft again. I couldn't give a shit about. So there's really nothing happening in the football for us. So Charles threw an agenda together that's got some talking points, and we're going to go out over them today. So I'm really not going to rant about anything. We will talk about what's happening down in the NFL because I don't like talking about the NFL, but it's kind of important right now. And like I said, the mics are open, so let's introduce the panel. Rick is still in New Zealand with a boys' high school rugby team. He should be back.
He's actually in Australia now.
He's in Australia now. Okay, my bad. So there you go. That's William. Welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm on the second week of my forced retirement. My gym workouts have gotten longer this week and they've been pretty furious. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
if I keep that up or not, but if that's what
awesome.
I got to do
that, hear that.
If that's what I got to do to keep my edge, well then that's what I'll do. So
yeah, why not? Got
you know what I mean?
Do.
Nope.
Yeah. Charles, how are you doing over there breathing?
I am doing well. I've got to move my mic, I think.
Yeah, probably.
I moved my mic a little bit because I'm breathing directly into it. You can probably hear it, so I'll move it there so it's not.
Yeah, we had a Darth Vader in the background there.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
Should be better now.
We rectified it, so that's cool.
Yep.
I mean, I was having problems with my mic this morning, earlier in the thing here, in the pre-show, and Willie and I fixed it, so we're good.
Oh, fair enough. Yep. But I'm doing good, back from a week of vacation. It always kind of sucks when you come back from vacation, but, you know, it is what it is.
It wasn't vacation,
back
or
in the
was
grind.
There work involved?
No, there was no work involved last week.
Oh, I thought you posted a couple things about it. You're down at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas.
No. Mandalay Beach on the coast of California.
That's Jamaica. Oh, California.
No, still California, about an hour west of Los Angeles. But we were right on the coast.
An hour west of Los Angeles is the middle of the ocean,
yes.
Isn't it?
Well, an hour west of downtown Los Angeles. We were in a city called Oxnard, which is right on the California coast. That's where we're staying because they had a nice resort on the beach, and because my wife
Yes.
worked for a company, we get some decent rates, so we ended up going there for a week.
Okay. Was it just you and the missus this time, or are you
no,
bringing
the kid
around
was
the
there
house?
Too.
Okay, because he's getting kind of old.
Yeah. That's true.
He's almost to the point where he can stay home on his own there, and you and the missus can go and have some good fun.
Well, we've actually talked about going to Vegas later this year, and he's like, "Yeah, if you guys go, I'll stay home. I don't want to go right now. I don't want to go to Vegas until I can do the fun stuff there." I'm like, "Okay, fair enough."
Well, there's a lot of fun stuff in Vegas for kids.
True.
No, there's
not. A lot of fun stuff that means that you don't have to go to the casinos to have fun.
Well, that's true.
Anyways, whatever. I hate.
Well,
whatever.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
I hate seeing kids in Vegas. Me.
Yeah. I wouldn't bring my kids to Vegas. I personally, I don't even wouldn't bring adults to Vegas. But That's beside the point. Will seems to like the place.
Yes, he does.
Well, I've never, not once in my life, have I ever thought to myself when I was planning my vacation in the summer, man, I'd love to go to Merritt, B.C. for vacation.
I would never come to Merritt for a vacation. I actually live
but
there.
But I did book my big trip this summer the other day.
I wouldn't go to Calgary for a vacation either.
Ask me where I'm going this summer.
Where are you going? You're going to Las Vegas.
Nope.
We already know
going
that. No.
To Winnipeg. Going
oh,
to
my
Winnipeg.
God.
Oh, boy. That's a vacation.
That's
a trip.
You're going to Winnipeg.
For eight days.
Going home.
So, my nephew's
they
getting married.
Rather
I have
go
to
Merritt.
Go to Winnipeg.
Oh, okay.
My nephew's getting married. I got to go to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So.
It's a wedding, so I understand that. But
that makes
oh
sense.
Oh, my God. Not for 8 days.
You can go
and
to
actually, it's not in the summer. It's actually not in the summer. It's in May. It's in May. And I'm going
not
for 8 days because it's the first time. It's the first time me and my sisters and my brother and a bunch of other immediate family have been together in 10 years. So we're going to hang out for 10 days or 5 days or 8 days or whatever.
Okay. And Rich going back with you?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, geez, eh?
No, I don't like hanging out. I don't like seeing him. But you know what? Actually, this time we're doing something really different. We're going to get together with a bunch of our old football buddies from high school, which we've never done.
Oh,
because
cool.
We've discovered a number of them recently, and so we're going to get together and see how they're doing. So that's all.
Cool.
Which is cool. Yeah, it is cool, because I haven't seen most of those guys in 40 years. So.
Yeah. I was just sitting there the other day, and I do not – associate with or talk to anybody that I went to high school or I hung around with back then at all. Just nobody. We all just went different directions. And I see them on Facebook and stuff like that. I'm friends with a couple of them, and there's nothing that they do that interests me. So just carry on. Which is really funny is because the guy that I first played lacrosse with when I was 5 years old, Jerry Johns, we talk all the time on Facebook. He lives in Kelowna. And it's kind of weird. Like, I've known him for 55, 57 years, something like that. Anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I never went. We never went to the same school.
Since you're on that point, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was sitting around one night, and out of my head came... I wonder if Ian McIntosh is still alive. Now, Ian McIntosh was a guy I was in cadets with, okay? And we were best buddies, and I haven't seen him since we were 15 years old. So what did I do? I go to Facebook, and I type his name in, and this guy pops up, and it doesn't look like Ian McIntosh, but it looks like his dad. So I sent him a friend request. I sent him a friend request, and he answered right away. And then I typed on Messenger, "Is this Ian McIntosh of the Queen's Own Cameron Highlanders Cadets in yada da yada yada?" And he sent me a picture of me and him in kilts. So I knew it was him right away.
Kilts.
I knew it was him right away. So.
Willie in a dress.
And he looked just like his dad because he got older, right?
Yeah.
Which is
okay.
Pretty cool.
You want to talk some football now?
Sure.
Just
go ahead.
Just checking, you know, see if we talk some football here. Okay, so we got the agenda up here. Dave Dickinson sees his brother, Craig, as a big asset for Calgary after an 8-year run with the Riders. Yeah. I didn't know he was with Riders for 8 years.
Riders for 8 years?
Anyhow.
Wow. Yep.
That's what it says.
Wow. So, but I don't think he was head coach for all 8 of those years.
No.
He was also an assistant at that time.
Yeah.
No, he was head coach for 2 seasons or 3?
I thought it was 4.
I think 3 or 4 maybe.
I think it's 3.
Maybe it was 3, okay.
No, I think
three?
It was
okay.
I think it was that he did a year and then he got an extension for 3 years and then they fired him 1 year or with 1 year remaining or something like that. I don't know what it is, but anyhow. Yeah. We can look it up, but it's not really that relevant. Anyhow, he's now with the Calgary Stampeders. And everybody says it's great because Craig Dickinson is a great special teams coach, and the Stampeders are going to do really well with him. And I'm going, guys, Mark Killam, he's kind of the special teams coordinator there. He's probably one of the best in the CFL. What are you doing? Says Craig Dickinson is a scout. He is nothing more than a scout right now. And I don't even know if that pays enough money to live on.
But maybe he takes over. Because don't forget, Killam is also assistant head coach.
Assistant head coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
right.
Maybe
and I've
Killam,
said this all
maybe,
along, is that Dave needs to step away
maybe
from head
Dickinson,
coach.
But maybe Dickinson takes over special teams. Killam plays more assistant head coach, and next year he's the head coach. And this is his
season. Well, he should just take
that.
Over as head coach because Dickinson's
well, but he's
not doing
going
a damn
to,
good job.
Dave's not
going to
give that up. Well, sorry, Dave said he's not going to give that up yet, but you never know. The season hasn't started yet.
True.
Yeah.
Right?
It's possible.
Yep. It is.
Season hasn't started. You never know what's going to happen, right? And Dave can step back at any time, and everything will just seamlessly work.
Regardless of what you think of Craig Dickinson, he still does have many, 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 many years of experience in the CFL.
Yeah.
100%. And I think in any capacity, he would help a team. Just saying.
Hang on. Stop for a second. I don't hold any ill will against Craig Dickinson. I think he's one of the best special teams coordinators out there. He is very good at his job. He just sucked at a head coach. Mike Benavides is a great defensive coach. He just sucked as a head coach. Paul Appelese, great offensive coordinator, sucks as a head coach. Okay?
Yeah, I'd give you that.
Mm-hmm. I think,
I'd give you that.
We can go on because we got Reinbold.
Yeah.
Great
Benavides.
Special teams
and we've
coordinator.
Mentioned,
sucked as a head coach.
Yeah. And we've mentioned Benavides. That many times. We've mentioned many times that there are guys out there that are much better coordinators and so on and assistants than they are head coach.
I agree. I mean, and my list of those people is Chris Jones. So, and Mike Benavides, he's one of, you see, the thing I hate most about guys going from assistant coaches to head coaches is they usually end up on a shitty team. Okay? I.e., Paul Appelese is a perfect example. I thought he was a great head coach. I thought he was a great head coach in Winnipeg. Mark Wettenall would disagree with me, but I thought he was a great head coach in Winnipeg.
I don't think he's ever been given the right opportunity.
Right. And the other guy you mentioned didn't have the right opportunity as well. Craig Dickinson went
Reinbold.
To Saskatchewan. Right.
Yeah, but he went
and
to Saskatchewan
Reinbold.
on a 13-5 team and drove him into the ground.
Well, okay.
Okay. I mean, Mike Benavides took over a 13-5 team, and he got
fired.
Into the ground. And he had a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
He had a winning record, and he got fired because the team was going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree.
And,
yep.
You know, You said Chris Jones is a prime example of that, that he's a better coordinator than he is a head coach. He has a ring as a head coach, and he built Edmonton was partially there already, but he took them the distance. And then he built Saskatchewan from a 3-15 team into a 13-5
once
team.
Once again, all you're doing is quoting stats. He did not win in Saskatchewan, so the team was not good enough.
He left before the team was good enough, because if Craig Dickinson took
it wasn't, because they never won. Craig,
they didn't win.
Not good enough.
He didn't
they
get that
good
far.
Enough.
He left before that.
I know, because they
weren't
good enough.
They would have won it in 2019.
In the
Winnipeg would never have won it in 2019.
Sorry, what was that?
No way. Winnipeg would not have won the Grey Cup in 2019 if Chris Jones stayed in Regina.
Oh, my God. You can't say that.
Sure I can, because there's no way in hell he
no,
would have traded Zach Caleros.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
He wouldn't have. There's no way in hell he would have. He would have rehabbed him and brought him back to the Riders.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, so I'm going to tell you
100% he would have.
Winnipeg, or Calgary, would have been a dynasty in 2016, 2017 if they had won the Grey Cup. They just had to score enough points to win. They didn't win, so they weren't good enough.
Fair comment?
I don't even think they were good enough in 2018. How they figured that one out is beyond me. So
nobody else.
They
was
played
better.
In Ottawa. They played an
Ottawa
team that
was
playing
Ottawa
above
was
their head, and they were playing on an ice rink.
But and Ottawa also had our favorite quarterback, Trevor Harris. So that's probably why they didn't win. I mean, I don't agree with the ice rink comment, Charles, because both teams had that field. So
true, but when you have two teams playing on a field like that, it's a crapshoot, because you don't know which team's going to react better to it.
And I mean, Ottawa was a pretty big passing team that year too. So
yes, they were, and that's a tough team tough condition for a passing game.
I agree.
Different teams play differently on different surfaces.
Sure.
Just because you're saying that both teams had the same field does not mean that they both dealt with it the same way. It might have been footwear. Mm-hmm. It might have been a whole plethora of different things. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think in this day and age you can ever blame footwear.
No, because there's enough footwear out there.
These guys are so into it that they bring many, many different pairs of shoes with them when they play anywhere.
Right.
Okay, I guarantee it.
I agreed, but that doesn't mean they brought the right ones for those conditions, because there's probably 15 different types
of
conditions for winter football.
I mean, the days of the team won because they found a staple gun and put staples in their bottom of the shoes is long gone.
Of course it
That's
is.
That's long gone.
And it should be gone.
So, I mean, if we want to take this one step further, in my mind, and I know your head's going to explode when I say this, because I think every Grey Cup should be played in BC Place until somebody else gets a fucking indoor stadium.
I don't disagree with that.
I do that. Because
then you get teams that it has nothing to do with the weather. But then some people will say, "But that's Canadian football." Fuck off! That's Canadian football.
Yeah, I don't argue with you.
No, I know.
And what's happening with the Big O now? Aren't they refurbishing that? I know they've removed the roof, Are they putting another one back on? This is for the Pan Am Games or something.
What's happening with the Big O is they're wasting more money on it.
This is
of course they are.
Taking a 1920s house and renovating it, okay? You should just fucking blow the thing up and start over.
Well, I don't disagree with you with Big O, but that's exactly what I did in New Westminster was I took a 1921 house and rebuilt it. And I had a beautiful heritage home, so...
I don't think that's a bad thing.
And what year was that?
When did I do that?
When did you do it?
Well, 30 years ago.
Okay. Well, now homes in Calgary that are 1930s, 1940s, some of them you can renovate, but don't forget a lot of these houses now have things that are unacceptable, i.e. asbestos. And it's not a cheap proposition to tear the asbestos out of a house.
No, it's not.
No, but it's not
some people won't
house
do it.
Down either.
No. No. But
right. So the best thing to do with a house that has asbestos in it is light the fucker on fire.
Just ask my former company if they make money on houses where they fucking try and redo them when they're 150 fucking years old and there's asbestos and things. I could go on and on about this for days.
No, we're not. We're not. We're talking football, and we're talking about Craig Dickinson into Calgary. Are you excited about this? Is this a good thing? If you're a Calgary Stampeders fan?
Not even fucking close.
No. Okay.
But he is an add-on. He's not the head guy. He's not the assistant guy. He's an assistant coach, and it's always nice to have a set of eyes.
No, he's not. He's a scout.
He's a scout.
It's always nice to have an extra set of eyes who knows football, and I would assume he knows football.
He knows football.
So.
I wouldn't have a problem with him being on the BC Lions. Okay? Personally, I think
as
all of our
coach?
Positions are filled.
No,
no
as long as he's
as
not
the head
coach.
No, special teams coordinator.
Okay.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think he did a good job as a special teams coordinator.
I'm fine with him being
the
head coach.
He did it for a long time. He did it for a long time for a lot of teams.
He did.
Yep. So,
but you've also got somebody in that position right now that's very good. So, you know.
Yep.
So, something has to change, and it will, because I don't think Dave brought Craig over there to be a bookend.
I tend to wonder if Mark Killam has stepped up to try and take the head coaching reins. You know what I mean? If he does everything that's involved, because I think it was not last year, the year before, he was the head coach for one game. Dave Dickinson was he sick? There was something wrong with him. Or he had COVID or something.
Or was it COVID?
What was that?
He COVID'd out.
No. Was it COVID? Yeah.
I think there was a few of your players. I think you're right, actually. They had to sit out.
Yeah, and they did. And they did win that game. It wasn't that impressive, but they did win. Hmm. But if you do it like Christopher Jones thinks you should do it, all the head coach is he directs the traffic. He's not
correct.
The defensive coordinator. He's not the offensive coordinator. He's just the manager, basically.
He's almost like an administrator.
Well, he's a coordinator, if you will. So, yeah.
Well, he makes the tough decisions, okay? Mm-hmm. He makes the tough decisions on what to do on third down or what to do on this play, but everything else. He goes, okay, we're going to go for it. Then the offensive coordinator has to have a play to do that, okay? It's not the head coach to say, okay, I want a quarterback sneak here. Okay, that's not his job. His job is not to run the offense. It's to say whether or not the offense should be on the field. Or should there be a kicking team? Or should there be something else? Are we going to go on third and one? Are we going to, you know, are we going to do a onside kick? Are we going to do what? Okay, that's the head coach's job. That's his job, okay, is to decide what the play of the game is going or how the game is going to be played. But it's the coordinator's job to make the plays, whether defense,
yep,
special teams, or offense. My opinion.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
I was thinking because I'm in forced retirement now, I was thinking of going to the Stampeders and see if they needed a free guy to break down film or something. I'd love to do something like that.
Well, they
I'd
will.
Have a great
they will
time
definitely
doing
take
that.
You on.
I'd have a great time doing that. So.
They love people that don't work for free.
Well,
just
I
call
know
up
that.
Dave.
I'll call Dave. Maybe.
You could be a water boy. Run out onto the field.
I guess I could.
Passing out ball. Actually, you know where you're probably be better served and you'd actually get paid for it is being a CFL official. I'm not talking about a referee guy. I'm talking about like the timekeeper or the guy that comes out there in the red shoes or the red outfit and the white shoes and holds his arms up in the air for the commercials or stuff like that. Those guys get they get paid a stipends per game. One of my old clients was the timekeeper for the BC Lions, and he was a timekeeper for like 40 years.
Yeah, I know a guy that does scorekeeping for the Lions too.
Yeah,
that works up in the booth.
Yeah, for the Lions. Because this guy didn't work
well,
for the
I think
BC
he works,
Lions. He worked for the CFL.
Technically, he actually worked for the CFL, but he does the Lions games.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't leave Vancouver. These guys just work Vancouver.
Yeah, right. And I knew a guy that was also a CFL official as well, like an on-field guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, we had one in the group for a while. I don't know what happened to him. Okay. So anything more to add to Craig Dickinson and the Calgary Stampeders and what's going on over there? And, I mean, we're just waiting for Dave to step back from the head coaching position to allow Mark Killam to take over and Craig Dickinson becomes a special teams coordinator. And it's, I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's going to happen. It has to.
I can see that happening for sure.
Right? And then Dave gets to focus on being a general manager, which he might actually be good at. Because I'm not overly impressed with him as a head coach, but he might do well as a general manager. Because this is actually his first year or second year? Was he was general manager
second
last
year,
wasn't he? Yeah.
No, he was not. Was he? No, he was not.
No.
No, he was not.
So this
not.
Is
this
his first year as GM.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he needs to focus on being a general manager and be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion. Okay, so that's done. So let's move on to something else. Alex Baldwin is added to the Stampeders coaching staff. Really? Did he get off that gun charge or kill that person on the film set? Not the actor. Okay. Different Baldwin.
Is his name's not Alex Baldwin, is it?
No, it's Bo Baldwin.
It's Bo Baldwin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he just joined as a quarterback coach.
Yes.
Replaced Ryan Williams.
Do you know who this guy is, Christopher?
Who, Bo Baldwin?
Yes.
Yeah, he's been at Eastern Washington University for 13 seasons.
Yeah.
Do I know who he is?
He's
no,
also,
I don't know.
Well, he coached Bo Levi Mitchell all through his college career. He also coached Mike Riley through his college career.
Okay. Vernon Adams and Matt Nichols.
Pardon me?
Vernon Adams, Matt Nichols. But it doesn't say anything about Riley. Oh, it does later
on.
He was at a different school. He was at Central Washington.
Yes, that's correct. So,
Now that's a Division II league, isn't it? Eastern Washington and Central Washington. Is that Division II or Division III?
No, it's Division I. It says right above.
It's Division I.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then he
won five
Big
Sky Conference
champ. He must have taken a serious pay cut to come to the Stampeders.
Could have.
Possibly, yep.
Could have.
Interesting.
He played for one season in the semi-pro ranks with the Linnehem Griffins in Sweden.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a great move by the Stampeders. I know the article says that they added four, but I don't really see too much more. They don't really say anything about the other people that they added.
No, they don't actually, do they?
No. Well, it says Baldwin added two coaching staff, so that title wasn't erroneous. But I know that they filled out four places or in on the coaching staff, so that's kind of something else is happening there. Okay. So, are you okay with that, Will? Do you think this is a good move?
Fuck, you, let me ask you guys this question. Do you think that starting quarterback in Calgary needs a quarterback coach?
You think?
I think he needs a coach 24/7.
Okay. Here's a question for you. Do you think this is going to make a difference on Jake Mayer?
Fuck. I'm thinking they realize what position they're in, so this is the only reason they hired him. Okay? Because Jake Mayer ain't it. And maybe he will help. I don't know.
Maybe they're throwing
once
out like
again,
a Hail Mary and hope
again,
that it works.
No, but once again, do you think professional players actually listen to some of their coaches? I think they do in some situations, but some guys, when you become a pro, I think you got to throw egos in there and stuff like that. So, I don't know, man.
Okay, so, but I don't believe that that's true, okay? Because, you know, like Tiger Woods, who arguably is the best golfer of all times, has three coaches.
Yep.
Right? He's got a putting coach, he's got a swing coach, and he's got some other kind of... So, you know, the people who are on the top of their game want to either stay there or they want to get better. So they listen to their coaches. They just don't try to get them into bed. Like some other people we know.
Had to throw that in there, didn't you?
That is.
Yeah, but in this all-inclusive society, that's not necessarily true.
What's that?
Well, maybe some guys try and entice some of their coaches there, okay? Anyway, shut up, Will. Just
like
keep on going.
Like Mark Messier? Okay.
Like Mark?
No.
Jesus. Okay.
Now this is taking a turn.
This is
do
not
you know
a politically correct show.
Wait.
Okay.
We don't talk hockey on this show, but let's do it for a second. Do you know why Mark Messier loved playing in Edmonton?
I do not.
They used to call him Mr. Friday Night. Because he could do anything in that city and nobody paid attention to him because Wayne Gretzky was his teammate. Okay? And it was all the spotlight was on Wayne Gretzky. So Mark Messier did
that
all kinds of things
sense.
And got away with him. So
okay.
Anyway.
Okay, we're going to move on a little bit here.
Yeah, no, Bo is a good choice. I'm glad they brought him in because they need a quarterback's coach, and he's got head coaching experience at the university. I don't know how that goes over to pros, but who knows? Who knows? Maybe he can help Jake with his technique or lack of.
Or he can be the decisive thing that says, this guy sucks, get rid of him, let's get somebody else in here.
Or maybe he can make Matt Schlitz a better quarterback.
Maybe that's possible, too.
Yeah.
As long as he can make somebody on that team a better quarterback.
I mean, let's face it, there's certain guys in the CFL, Scott Milanovic, for example, he makes quarterbacks better. He always has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He did it last year. Okay? So why not? Maybe this guy has the same talent. Who knows?
He did it last year? What quarterback did he make better?
Yeah.
You mean Taylor Powell?
Yeah.
But it was Scott Milanovic's decision to go with Matt Schlitz and Bo Levi Mitchell for the playoff game.
Was it?
Yeah, well, I believe so. He was the head coach at that point in time?
No, he wasn't the head coach last year.
That's true. That was still Orlando Steinauer.
Still Orlando Steinauer.
Okay. Well, we'll leave this one and move on. The next thing on the agenda is NFL. We don't talk about NFL on this show, okay? I just do not talk about NFL. Couldn't give a shit what happens down there. And I don't follow it. I don't know what's going on down there. I don't know any of the players, coaches. I could probably name six teams, but that's about it. But this is important. NFL owners have approved a massive revamp to the kickoff play should the CFL follow suit. Now, this is the headline from ESPN, which is really interesting because why? No, it's not. That was just Charles adding that little bit. It should be
the
CFL follow. Okay, that caught me off guard there. Okay, ESPN put up this thing and says that they approved a revamping of the kickoff. Now, it's kind of similar to the XFL, isn't it? Where the two teams have to line up 10 yards apart or something like this?
Yeah, it's basically the same as virtually the same as the XFL rule.
So the guy kicks the ball from the 40-yard line. It goes down. Nobody is allowed to move until the receiver catches the ball.
Right.
So that would eliminate the concept of fair catches.
Yeah, and also there's a zone that they have to land the kickoff in. I think it's between something like the 30-yard line and the 10-yard line. If the kicker does not land the ball in the landing zone, the ball automatically comes out to the 40-yard line.
Yeah, which is stupid, in my opinion. Why give the NFL does this. They give yards all over the place to people for no reason, and there's no cost to them. So the landing zone is between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Okay?
Essentially, yes.
And the teams have – the defensive team, the receiving team, has to line up on the 30-yard line. And the kicking team has to line up on the 35-yard line, and then the kickoff is taken from the 40 or something. The 35. It's kicked off from the 35. Or no, that's not right. The kicking team is between the 40 and the 45, and the defensive team is between the 30 and the 35. And there's a no-man's zone between the 35 and the 40. Nobody's allowed to be in there.
It's actually kind of confusing.
Yeah. But it is and it isn't. I mean, the ball comes down between the 20 and the end zone. It's fair game, and they're going to have a kickoff return, which they don't have kickoff returns right now. They just don't exist.
Right. I think this is a way to get away from, like, the what's the word I'm looking for, the touchback.
Yes.
Because almost every kickoff ends in a touchback.
Yeah, and then they get take the ball out to the 40-yard line.
Stupid.
And they didn't earn those 40 yards. I mean,
no.
Okay, the ball went into the end zone. We'll scrimmage from the 5. At least the Rouge giving up a point to get field position makes sense, right? So here's what happens. If the kick doesn't reach the landing zone, the ball is placed on the 40. If it goes out of the end zone, the ball's at the 35. If it hits the landing zone and rolls into the end zone and is downed, the ball's at the 20. If it's caught in the landing zone, it must be returned.
Right.
So it's going to hit the landing zone and roll into the end zone. They get the ball at the 20, which isn't a bonus. So, yeah, I'm totally okay with this.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this in the CFL. I think there's better variations to this for the CFL. But, you know, hey.
Well, the thing is, the CFL doesn't have the touchback. It's not like every kickoff is turning into a touchback. That's a different story. So it's a different situation in CFL because we haven't had the issue where it's just a touchback every kickoff. Most of the kickoffs in the CFL get returned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's nobody in the way. So they come down, they catch the ball, they run. The average return on a kickoff is 11.5 yards in the CFL.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
No.
But the average place at the ball of scrimmage for the first down is the 35.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So the CFL wants to change the thing. The owners are talking about that right now. They want to change the kickoff because there are more injuries on kick returns than any other type of play.
I'm not surprised because you got guys that are running at these guys at full speed.
Yes. And they hit the defenders. And it's not always the kick returner that gets injured. It's a blocker or somebody else that gets beat up. Somebody does. So should the kickoff return in the CFL change to make it a safer play? I'll ask Charles that.
Honestly, I don't know how you're going to do it because it may initially make it a safer play. Teams are going to find a way around it. They're going to figure out a way to get their guys going full speed on these guys. So I'm not sure exactly how you're going to do that. You don't want to turn the game into flag football. I don't mind this return thing. So if they added this to the CFL, I wouldn't have a big issue with it. Although I don't like taking the ball out to the 40-yard line, maybe take it out to the 25 or the 30, but you're almost giving them half the field once you put it at the 40-yard line. I don't think that's the answer either. So, I mean, I am all for, like, making it safer for the players. I just wonder how exactly they're going to do that because, like I said, teams will eventually figure out a way to exploit this somehow.
Of course they will. I mean, I can see it working in the NFL because right now their kickoff returns are boring as hell. And now
they're almost none.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's almost no kickoff returns to speak of because they always end in a touchback, which
or
is super
catch.
Boring. Yeah.
And I love the fair catch concept. Hang on, I'm going to catch the ball. Don't hurt me.
Yeah. Well, they don't do fair catches typically. Typically, they don't do fair catches on kickoff. That's on punts.
Okay.
I don't think they have the fair catch on kickoff.
I don't watch football or American football or NFL, so I wouldn't know.
Right.
I just know that they have the fair catch, and it's dumb as shit.
Yeah, I don't like the fair catch either. I never have.
That's pussy football. Don't hit me. I'm catching the ball. Okay. William, do you think this is good for the NFL? Do you think that CFL should do something similar or differently? Or are you just going to tell me to get rid of fucking kickers?
You want me to talk about kicking? You want me to talk about kicking? Okay. Well, okay, I'm glad they changed it in the NFL because it is pretty boring, okay? It's like kick the ball down the field, the guy looks down the field, oh, no, I'm going to get hit. Sticks his arm up and he doesn't get hit, okay? Is that football? I don't think so. Anyways, I think the NFL needs to change it. I don't think the CFL needs to change it. If they're changing it for safety reasons, well, why don't you go and play fucking soccer? Okay? Come on. It's football. I did watch the USFL or wherever this thing is in, and I really did like that kickoff. It was pretty cool, I thought. But, I mean, this is the most significant change the NFL has had in years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about kicking. Who cares? I don't.
Well, it's not the most significant change because they just approved another thing. And I don't know if Charles put it on the agenda. I don't think he would have. But this drop hip tackle.
Yeah.
But what?
I didn't put that on the agenda.
So what? They created a new – there's a new play that we didn't know existed. In fact, nobody really knew it existed. It's called a drop hip tackle. And it is when you grab a player below the shoulders and you let go all of your weight. You put all of your weight on him. You let your legs go limp out behind you and drag him down with all of your weight. That is now a 15-yard penalty in the NFL.
Get the fuck out of here.
Dead serious.
No, he's right about this. That was just approved the other day. And to me, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah. Players get hurt in football for crying out loud.
Have you seen defensive backs dive at guys' knees and hit them? And they never wrap up anymore. They just dive at their knees.
Yep.
To me, that is more dangerous than anything I've seen on a football field in the last 20 years.
Of course it
and
is.
I don't disagree.
You can't grab the guy and put all your – come on.
Really?
That's how you're taught to tackle when you're young.
Of course it is.
Yes. Yes.
What is the safest contact sport out there? What contact sport has the least amount of injuries?
I don't know.
Not hockey.
Football.
Not lacrosse.
Football.
It's not football. Rugby.
Okay. Yep.
Why is it?
Those guys don't even wear pads.
Because these guys learned how to tackle.
Yep.
And I think that it should be a prerequisite coming out of university that everybody needs to go play rugby for a year before they play football. And then they learn how to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't disagree with that either.
Right? I mean, if they learn to wrap a guy up properly and drag him down with what is now an illegal tackle, in the NFL. It's definitely not in the CFL. And I don't see the CFL following suit on this. The amount of players that are screaming about that south of the border is huge. I mean, I don't see how this is going to get...
Well, they're pissed off at this.
Oh, they're hugely pissed off about this. And so they should.
And I can't say I blame them.
No. I don't know. How are you supposed to tackle the guy? They've already made tripping illegal.
Yeah.
How do you tackle them? This is how you're supposed to tackle them.
I mean, if you're a defensive back and you're tackling a 240-pound running back from behind,
how
are you going to stop him? How are you going to stop him? He's going to drag you. Okay? It's ridiculous.
Well, he dragged two or three of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you get a 15-yard penalty now. So, yeah, I'm not impressed with the moves that the NFL is making. I'm not sure that this kickoff is the answer, but it's probably going to be better. But this hip drop tackle is this real stupid. I mean, what moron fucking came up with this?
I don't know. And, I mean, you know what? In the heat of battle, if you got a guy and you're holding on to him, of course you're going to put all your – it's ridiculous. Whatever.
But hang on. If you're holding on to a guy, like you just said, this DB, this little DB guy, is dealing with this running back, and he's holding – he's trying to tackle the guy, and the guy's still running – and he's going to pull the DB's legs out from underneath him and drag him, and then he's going to get the DB's going to get a 15-yard penalty.
Going to get a penalty.
Because he couldn't keep his feet moving at the same speed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to get more. You're going to get more DB's than you have now diving at guys' ankles.
Yeah. Because they have no choice.
They do not. Amazing. How they can fuck these games up so badly. Oh. Anyway.
Yeah, it's dumb. Makes no sense to me, but
hey, they can do what they like.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's their sport, and let them do it. As long as they don't try this bullshit up here, we'll be just fine. Okay. Enough of this NFL talk. I'm tired of it. Let's go on. What should the Elks do with the number one draft pick? I don't know what to say to this.
Probably draft a player.
They're on the clock. Let the clock run out.
Or trade them.
Or trade it.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to pick first overall?
A Canadian guy.
Is that Canadian guy going to go to the NFL?
Well, usually they don't pick the best Canadian guys because they go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Some of them do. Some of them do when they don't really need a pick, and they pick a guy just in case he doesn't make it. But, I mean, if you think about it, and I can't remember what his name was. He was the number one pick 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. He was a receiver. Hamilton picked him number one overall. And he tried for the NFL and didn't make it in the NFL. And he said, I'm not playing in the CFL.
Yeah.
And he never played football again.
Yeah. So this whole CFL draft or U Sports draft, or actually it's not, it's a Canadian draft because you can draft people who are not in U Sports. They're just Canadian eligible. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Why do we have it? Why do we have a draft? You know, we can't draft Americans. So why are we drafting Canadians? Why don't we go back to the way it was in the 60s and 70s with in the NHL, where you found a kid when he was 13 years old and you trained him up on your own sort of thing. You put him into this hockey program and that hockey program, and you trained him up, and they got to go to this college or this university or whatever else, and you got possession of him at a very early age. And
yeah,
it was like, I understand what happened in hockey is because Montreal got all the best French players because that's where they wanted to play. So Montreal always had this massive dynasty happening. But doesn't that make more sense?
Yep.
You
know what I think they should do? I think they would do very well if they had what they used to have many, many moons ago, where they had territorial protection.
Yeah, but
okay,
that was only one player a year.
Well, no, but I think they should expand something like that. And because you can literally, you can literally tell what guys are going to be when they're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. And and you can point them in the right direction as long as when they become pros, you get to pick them. And nobody else.
Right.
Has. You know what I mean? That makes perfect sense.
But I don't disagree with that. But how do you prevent him from going to the NFL? You can't.
You can't.
So if they did what I was suggesting, a combination of what I am suggesting, what you're suggesting, is that, okay, so this kid is 13, 14 years old. You know that he's absolutely lighting up the high school. Like, what was that guy's name? Chase, what was his name?
Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool,
that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
So you take this kid, you sign him as a BC Lion, because he was from Abbotsford, territorial protection sort of thing like Will's thing. And now you have an association or an affiliation with a high school in Texas. And you go put him down at this high school down in Texas where he gets the best, absolute best coaching that there is.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into a university program that you're affiliated with, so he gets the best coaching he can at the college level. And then when it's done, he's either going NFL or he's going to CFL. And if he's going CFL, he's with the BC Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just using that as an example. I'm just using BC as an example because that's what I know. Okay, so,
yes.
And Calgary could do the same thing. But to bring these kids and say, okay, well, you need to go to the Calgary Dinos or you need to go to the UBC Thunderbirds, why would you hamper or handicap a player like that? Why do you want him to get the best coaching that's available if this is going to be your future stud?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a fair point.
Right? So you create an affiliation with one of these kick-ass high schools down in Texas who have better stadiums than most CFL cities. And
especially
you play football down there.
Yep. Right.
I don't know. I'm just it's just spitballing an idea. I'm just making it up as I go along.
But will that make more sense than a draft? Because we're drafting players that are not pro ready. Some are. Some came out of the American program, but most of them have not. And if you look at the stats, less than 50% of the players that are drafted play one CFL game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? And the majority of the players that actually do stick in the CFL aren't with the team that drafted them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
they get drafted
and
they're possession of the BC Lions or Calgary Stampeders for 1 year, 2 years, and then they go, well, I'm going to go sign with Ottawa because I'm from Ottawa.
Yes. And there's many examples of that. And that's what would make sense for the territorial protection as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So the guy who came out of Manitoba gets drafted by the Bombers, and he's gladly going to play there.
Right, but we shouldn't be drafting him coming out of university or
college.
We should be drafting him when he's 13, 14 years old and then train the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So that he is pro-ready. When he's eligible to play.
I agree. Yep.
And that's not going to happen in Canada. So let's go back to this. What should the Elks do with their number one pick?
I'd trade them.
Trade it. 100%.
Yeah.
Charles, do you agree with that?
I would think so, yeah, because I think you, if you look at the stats it's on, you probably have better odds with what you get back from the pick than what you get with the pick itself. Because
well,
if you look at these odds,
you're going to get a pro-ready player, you know?
You know,
might
you,
not
trade,
be
you trade,
an
you
all-star,
trade that
but...
first-round draft pick. For a couple of Canadians that are already established in the CFL. Most teams would go for that.
Yeah. Go for a kicker.
Sure, go for a kicker.
So we're kind of all on the same page with that. The Elks should trade this number one draft pick. Okay.
Yep.
Don't know if that's going to happen or not. And Chris Jones has done it before.
Let's face it, is a number one Canadian draft pick going to start on a Chris Jones defense? I don't think so.
No.
Of course not.
And they're saying that the number one draft pick is going to be a Canadian quarterback. And I'm going, no. Who's going to be that stupid? I don't know.
Yeah. You got to figure that one out.
Trade it. Get somebody who can actually play football.
I like that thought.
Well, I mean, the odds are against your number one draft pick playing in the CFL.
Yes. They are.
So if you grab somebody who's already playing in the CFL, especially as you say, if we trade him for another Canadian, if you trade him as a Canadian starter, you're screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Give up your first and second round for that.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't lost anything.
I mean, let's face it.
Go ahead.
Let's face it. It makes more sense to draft a Canadian offensive lineman high rather than a Canadian linebacker or a Canadian running back or a Canadian receiver. Because I mean, number one, the offensive line is the staple of your team, and it's easier to find Canadian. It's easier to find Canadian offensive linemen that are good that can play than not. And once again,
you take
a Canadian and you put him on the interior in the interior of the line, and he'll do fine.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well. Something I read today, which was, there is no position out there that makes the O-line better, but the O-line makes every other position better.
Well, I would agree to that, so.
Okay. Like, there isn't a quarterback out there that makes the O-line better. There isn't a running back out there that makes the O-line better. No receiver out there that makes the O-line better. But a great O-line will make an above-average quarterback look great. A great O-line will make an above-average running back look amazing.
Yeah.
A great O-line will give the receivers time to make their run, their routes, to run their routes. So, you know, the O-line is the core of your football team. So why do we fill it with Canadians?
Because there's something called the import rule, okay? That's why.
Well, I know that. I know that. I understand the rule. I just don't understand why we fill the most important positions on the football team, or second most important position on the football team, are Canadians. Why do you do that? Why do you handicap your offense by doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a Canadian O-line and you have an American defensive line, and the Americans are walking all over the Canadians every fucking chance they get. And your quarterbacks are getting hurt. I mean, how many quarterbacks got injured last year? Or better question, how many didn't?
That's a better question, because it's probably a less number.
I mean, Hamilton went through two. Saskatchewan went through a couple. I don't know what the hell happened in Ottawa. You know? Is Kolaris the only one that really didn't get injured last year? Vernon Adams missed a game or two.
Yeah. Didn't even Kolaris miss a game with an injury too? I think he did.
Yeah, he missed a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's why we got to see Drew Brown.
Exactly. Yeah. And based on that one game or two games, he got a starting job. Good luck.
I don't think he got a starting job.
Well, I expect him to be starter in Ottawa.
Jeremiah Mazzoli is still there.
With his knee of a 78-year-old.
He should become a kicker.
Well, in reality,
he might last the game.
Who's the oldest quarterback in the league right now? Is it Trevor Harris at 37?
Zach Kolaris
is 36. How old's Mazzoli?
He's, I think, 34.
Yeah, he's not that old for a guy.
No, he's
early
30s.
Up.
It's not the years, it's the mileage.
Yeah.
No, it's the talent, and he has none. Whoa, did I say that? He's 35.
He's 35. He'll be 36 in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's up there. And, I mean, you got McLeod Bethel Thompson, who's not a young guy.
Is he 40?
I don't think he's 40.
I don't think he's quite that old.
He's only 35. Well, he'll be 36 in July.
Jeez. I thought he was about 38, so I was wrong.
So there's a lot of players that are in that same age bracket. Say, it like, Caleros is 35, turning 36. They're all born in 88, except for Trevor Harris, who is 37 right now, turning 38
next month. We need to get some quarterbacks in this league. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's – what did we just – was it four or five of them that are north of 35 right now?
Yep.
Vernon Adams is only 31.
He's probably the second youngest next to Trey Ford. Starter out here well.
Cody Fajardo is 31. Trey Ford is not
but
a
I
starter.
I think he was washed up 7 years ago.
Trey Ford is 25.
Yeah.
For another 3 days. Then he's 26.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is? Oh no, Bo Levi. How old is he?
35.
Yeah. Is he that? 34. I thought he was older than that. Wow, really?
34.
He actually just turned 34 a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I mean, I thought he was older than that. 34. Okay.
No.
No, he just plays like he's 56.
Yeah.
He's got the shoulder of a 75-year-old.
Oh, yeah, I think my shoulder's better. Who else is out there? I mean, we can't talk about Jake Mayer and Matthew Schlitz. They're just youngins. Yeah, no.
You always bring Marcus Grandel out of retirement.
Yeah, that guy's 104. Actually, he just turned 50.
Well, the most amazing thing is Rudy, the first Rudy we had on the show, his favorite quarterback, Matt Nichols, is only 37. He could come and play.
Yeah, and he's retired, isn't he?
Yeah.
Funny, Marcus Crandall, all the pictures that they've got up of him are all in Saskatchewan uniforms.
Yep.
Yet he won a Grey Cup with Calgary.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. Okay, moving along. So we all agree that Edmonton should trade this draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of it and get a starting Canadian. I don't care where. And then you've won. You've got a Canadian player that is one of your seven. Because the odds of this draft pick actually playing in the CFL are slim to nil. Edmonton Elks add Jason Shivers and four others to the coaching staff. Maybe this is where I saw that four others as opposed to Bo.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Calgary. Yeah.
Bo guy in Calgary. Bo Baldwin. Yeah, so Jason Shivers, who I have not – he's no relation to Roy.
No. Nope.
Or I haven't seen them mentioned together in the same article, okay?
I don't believe they're related, no.
Yeah. But he seems to be, I mean, he's was with Chris Jones in Saskatchewan and Edmonton before this. So he's kind of, he follows them. So, you know, and everybody says Chris Jones is a terrible coach, a terrible coach.
But why are his subordinates so loyal to him? Why are players so loyal to him? I mean, Jackson Jeffcoat went to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers because Chris Jones left Saskatchewan. If Chris Jones didn't leave Saskatchewan, he wouldn't have gone to Winnipeg. Why are players and coaches so loyal to Chris Jones if he is such a terrible coach? Can you answer that?
I don't know. Maybe he buys them pizza and beer every night.
Maybe they like working for him.
Yeah. Maybe he's a good guy to work for. Maybe he's a good guy to work for.
I mean, this guy's come back, came looking for a job. Where was he last year? He came in as the assistant head coach, defensive coordinator, and linebacker.
Saskatchewan last year. He was in Saskatchewan last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just made him the defensive coordinator because Chris Jones wants to concentrate more of his time on the offense.
Well, he gave up the defensive coordinator's position for this.
Yes, he did.
So he's not wearing three or four hats now. He's just down to general manager. I don't know, is he president or vice president of football operations as well? I think he is.
I thought he was president, wasn't he? Or?
Yeah, something like that. And then he's got the head coach and general manager's title. Yeah, okay. So I think it's a great move for both of them, or all three of them. I think it's a good move for Jason Shivers. It's a good step up for him. It's a good move for Chris Jones because he's alleviated a very stressful position of defensive coordinator. And I think it's a great move for the Elks. How could it not be, right? I mean, the Elks fans should be excited about this. And, again, then – you know, the article did say four. Who are the other ones? Oh, okay. So they got Marcus Klund, who's a defensive back coach, Albert Horry, running back coach, and Nate O'Neill, defensive line coach, and Taco B. Cofield, assistant offensive line coach. And Klund also made the move from the Riders. The defensive back coach. So I don't see this as bad moves for Edmonton. None of them.
Nope.
No, I mean,
I think they're just going to be a better team. They're going to be a better team this year.
Well, they should be. They should be. I mean, it'll be the first time ever the Edmonton Elks were a decent football team.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But sticking with the Edmonton Elks, the Elks are not fielding trade offers for Canadian quarterback Trey Ford, as per Chris Jones. So I'm not sure why they're doing that to him or for him or – I mean, McLeod Bethel
obviously
is not a long-term solution for Edmonton.
No, obviously they need McLeod Bethel Thomas to show Trey Ford the way. And so that – all the pressure is not on him to play well and compete and win. If you think about it, that's what they're doing. I think this is a smart move by Chris Jones. So,
it definitely shows that he has a lot more faith in him than what has previously been discussed.
Yeah, but I also think the way Trey Ford plays, he gets injured, okay? Because he likes to run. And maybe he'll learn how to drop back and pass, because that's what their offense is going to be if McLeod Bethel Thomas is the starter.
Yeah, the man's got a cannon for an arm.
And when you play Lewis at $330,000 a season, you better do some passing.
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're wasting your money.
Yeah.
Well, last year they did.
Yeah.
Well, because they let what's-his-name start the first six or seven games.
People will say, regardless of how the result, you wasted your money paying that much to a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say that. There's no way that a receiver should be making over $280,000 a year. In fact, that's probably too much.
$150,000, $180,000 tops.
Now, there's certain receivers out there that are worth some money. But not very goddamn many of them.
Okay. What are we doing here? So do you think this is a smart move by not trading Trey Ford? Charles, are you on board with this one? Or do you think they should have just got rid of him?
Well, I mean... obviously, though, McLeod Bethel Thomas, now that he's there, or Thompson, now that he's there.
Thompson.
He's there as the starter this year. But he's not going to be there for a long time. So do they have to maybe hold on to Trey Ford, maybe let him play a couple of years under McLeod Bethel Thompson, and maybe he's better for it, and then maybe he goes back to the starter. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But you know what? They're going to need someone after he's gone. So maybe just keep him there, let him learn underneath him, and see if that makes a difference. Obviously, they didn't have the confidence to keep going with him this year. But maybe they're thinking of a couple of years at number two, and he might still be a guy to go with. So
okay. So I'm going to read you guys this paragraph, and it says, the Elks acquired Bethel Thompson in January, bringing the veteran Grey Cup winner back to Canada after a stint in the USFL. The team did not inform Ford that the move was in the works until the 35-year-old replacement was under contract. Though Jones claims that isn't an indication of their desire to keep the young prospect. That last sentence is wrong.
And sorry, he's a player, and if he wants to play on that team, it's none of your fucking business what we do with everybody else. And don't forget, prior to signing Bethel Thomas, Jones would not name Trey Ford as their starting quarterback.
No.
Nope.
No. He did too by under protest.
Right. So.
And then he went and won three games, but they were against Ottawa and Hamilton.
Yep.
Losing streak, but, you know, who did they beat?
But you see, once again, with a guy like Trey Ford, okay, if he is the starter already, he's not going to learn, okay? I.e., you look back at guys who learned, that were runners in the beginning, okay? Tracy Hamm, Matt Dunnigan, Damon Allen, Dave Dickinson.
Casey Pine.
There you go. And the reason those guys stuck around is because they became drop back passers eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And Trey Ford has to do the same thing.
He does.
And if he's a young guy and he's the starter, he's gonna his first instinct is to run when he's in trouble. So
that's gonna end up getting
the injury for them. And there you go.
And
don't
there are some quarterbacks
the year
that
before,
never learned how not to run, like Damon Allen.
But the year before, don't forget, Ford had an injury in the first game of the year, and he was out almost all year, okay?
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree.
You have to be careful.
I mean, I like the style of Trey Ford, and I've said this before, is I think that he would fit really nicely into the BZ offense behind Vernon Adams. And because they have both have a very similar style.
Yep.
But in my honest opinion, I think Vernon Adams still needs a mentor.
Yes, he does.
You know, I mean... I think he would have benefited great from this Bo Baldwin. Or somebody similar, Scott Milanovich, Mark Trestman. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but is Vernon Adams the kind of guy who will listen at this point in his career?
I think he kind of has to because he really hasn't – he's been in the league for, what, 6 years, 7 years? And he really hasn't done anything.
No, that's true.
There's no accomplishments. He won a playoff game last year. Big deal. He beat Calgary. I mean, if that's the only thing that he's accomplished in his entire career, that's not writing home to tell mom about it.
Not really, no.
I think maybe BC should look into, you know, trading for somebody like, you know, Jake Mayer or something like that.
You're a bag of salt and some tape.
Keep him in Calgary. That's a good place for him.
Well, the nice thing about Jake Mayer being in Calgary is that BC's never going to have to worry about being below them in the standings. It's that simple.
No kidding. That's why I like him there.
Yeah, I'm 100% okay with him there. I personally like BC's chances against Winnipeg this year. I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think, in fact, Winnipeg is the one that's going to be chasing BC this year instead of BC chasing Winnipeg for the last 3 years. I'm hoping that that's the case, and I hope we don't have to deal with Edmonton too soon, too quick.
I don't know. Well, it's going to take them some time.
Edmonton? I don't think it will. They weren't a bad team. They just weren't winning. They didn't have a quarterback that could throw the ball. They didn't have a quarterback. The rest of the team was fairly stable. They weren't being blown out.
No, that's true.
I mean, they did get a pounding from BC, and they did get a pounding from Toronto. But, you know, they should have. Those were good teams.
They almost beat Winnipeg the one game.
Yeah. Wish they had. Then BC would have had the home playoff game, and we might have been in the Grey Cup against Montreal. I think BC would have matched up with Cody Fajardo a lot better than Winnipeg did. Winnipeg
probably
didn't do so well. Okay, where am I going here? Okay, not fielding trade offers for Trey Ford. I think that's a smart move by Chris Jones. I'm kind of disappointed. I would have liked to have seen him come to BC. But so be it. You know, that doesn't mean that Rick Campbell and Neil McAvoy wanted to see him come to BC. It was just Christopher Jones did. CJ wanted him. And I'm not one that – I don't count. Sorry to say it. You know, it's just true. I just don't count. Okay, so next article is absolutely stupid. And it's a Three Down Nation article, and it has to do with not having anything else to write about. And they had two back-to-back articles, one about BC and one against about Hamilton. And it says, BC is not unhappy to drive up the Brady Oliveira's price tag for the Bombers. I don't honestly believe that they did. Yeah, BC offered him, what, 100 and, was it, or, sorry, 170,000? 270,000.
Something like that.
It was $755,000 over 3 years.
Yeah.
So it would have been 270.
Yeah.
And Hamilton came in at 255, and he signed for 240. Okay. So I don't think BC ran the price up. I think that he was going to sign for a 240 with Winnipeg regardless. And
mm-hmm.
because that's what he wanted, and he wanted to stay in Winnipeg. The only thing that, you know, he had to prove that his worth, his value was out there. And BC made a bold offer, and he wanted to stay in Winnipeg. His girlfriend
yeah.
wanted to stay in Winnipeg. Everything wanted to be in Winnipeg. So, you know, he took a hometown discount to be there. Understandable. You know, if you've got a home, you own a house in Winnipeg, that didn't cost you a lot of money. Okay? So you can't sell it and go buy a house in Vancouver. Okay? You can't do it. So assuming that you're going to stay in Winnipeg, you're going to live there. So now you've got your house in Winnipeg, and now you go to BC, and yeah, you're making, what, $35,000 a year more. You're going to spend a good chunk of that on rent. To live away from your home. Living
mm-hmm.
in Vancouver is not cheap. It is absolutely not cheap. You're
going
to
be
paying, you know, $3,000 a month. For a decent rental, okay? Unless you're going to bunk with somebody, you're going to pay $3,000 a month, and that over how many months? 6, 7? That's almost your $35,000 extra money that the BC Lions are paying you. You might as well stay in Winnipeg for $240. And Hamilton's not much different. Hamilton's not Toronto, but it's not cheap.
It's Toronto adjacent.
Yeah. It's like living in Burnaby. Well, maybe Surrey. It's just, so it was a smart move by him. So writing an article that says BC is not unhappy to drive up the price, and then Hamilton did an article about Hamilton's not upset to drive up the price. It's football. That's part of the game. That's why we have free agency. That's why it's there. Do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with free agency at all. I think players should play for a team for 10 years or for their entire career. That doesn't happen very often.
Rarely.
You see, the thing about him going to Vancouver or anywhere, okay, and I don't know if this is a Winnipeg thing because I experienced it when I lived there.
You never know another city till you live in that other city.
Correct.
And people believe Winnipeg is a good place to live because
they've never been
anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I was in the same boat until I came out here for 2 years, and it's like, really? They do that here? Oh, really? You can do that? Yeah, I'm never moving back to Winnipeg.
I'm never moving back.
My brother living in Abbotsford, same thing. Same thing. So.
Yeah.
And I mean, I understand my brother, when he left Winnipeg, he moved to, of all places, he moved to Port Alberni. Okay?
Oh, fuck, really?
he liked Port Alberni better than Winnipeg, okay?
Oh, my God.
So,
nothing like living in
Winnipeg. Because that's where his wife got transferred to, was Port Alberni, so they had to go.
Yeah.
And they were there for almost 2 years. So,
how do you get transferred to Port Alberni?
She worked for, you remember, a company called, oh my God, Avco Finance. Remember Avco Finance?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Way back when, they had a branch in Port Alberni, and that's where they transferred her to.
Wow.
And she took it because it was getting out of Manitoba. Ask me what my brother did for the first year he was in Port Alberni.
Oh, I don't know.
What did he do?
What year?
He sold chainsaws.
Well, that would be a very lucrative
business.
Well, he
didn't try to juggle them.
That
doesn't seem like a bad
thing. Well, and it's such a small place. My brother liked to go to the gym, and there was actually a gym in Port Alberni. And once the owner found out that my brother wanted to work out at 5 a.m., he just gave him
the
key. He just gave him a key and said, you go, not go in there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Screw that. So.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
And then they moved to Abbotsford, and they've been there ever since. So.
No, Port Alberni used to be a bustling metropolis. I mean, it was a booming town, right? I mean, it was a big logging town. It was a big pulp town. It was a sawmill town. There was a lot happening on the island back then. Nothing there now. Fucking ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy to be out of there, but yeah. How many people are there in Winnipeg?
792,000.
Okay.
But Christopher, ask me how many people there was when I left Winnipeg 35 years ago.
How many people was there in Winnipeg when you left 35 years ago, Will?
782,000.
So drop 20 grand, eh?
Well, no, but my point is Calgary and Winnipeg 35 years ago were the same size.
Not anymore.
35 years later, Calgary's 1.4, 1.6, and Winnipeg is still 700 and some. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a football show, so we should talk football, but what's the main industry in Winnipeg?
There isn't.
Okay. That kind of sums up everything, right?
Yeah. There's never been a major industry.
Calgary's an oil town.
Let's
just face facts, right? It ebbs and flows with the oil.
Yeah.
And so is Edmonton.
Yes.
And Vancouver is a transportation city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving back to football. Potential Rourke return to the CFL is not a consideration after a Lions signed long-term deal with Vernon Adams Jr. But I don't think that really is relevant, because I think if Nathan Rourke came back to the CFL right now, back to the BC Lions, Vernon Adams would be going somewhere. I honestly don't think that they would keep him, regardless of whether he's got a three-year contract or not. Or, right?
Probably,
I mean,
not. I don't think, though.
Let's face facts. Who would you rather have on your team? There isn't a quarterback in the CFL right now that I would keep, that a team in the CFL right now wouldn't take Nathan Rourke over their current starter. I know the Bomber fans would argue about Zach Caleros, but I'm going to tell you, Zach Caleros, this might be his last season.
Yep.
So in reality, you would take Nathan Rourke in a heartbeat over him. He's already proved his worth in this league, shattering records in the first six games.
When he's younger, too.
Like,
quite a bit.
25.
Ask Willie who would rather have, Nathan Rourke or Jake Mayer.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you can answer that question. Who would you rather have, Willie, Jake Mayer or Nathan Rourke?
I'd rather have, I don't know, maybe McLeod Bethel Thomas. He's got better.
Then you're an idiot. Because I am convinced in my soul, and yes, this is an opinion, and it's got a little bit of emotion in it, but it's very logical. I think Nathan Rourke, if he stayed in the CFL, would shatter Doug Flutie's records. I think he's that good of a quarterback. He would be the best quarterback the CFL's ever seen.
Possible.
We're never going to know.
No.
Never going to know, because I don't think he's ever coming back to the CFL.
Nope.
So it's a moot point, and you can't say I'm wrong, and I can't say I'm right. But that's my personal opinion, is I watch this kid. I just, unbelievable how the maturity of somebody that was, what, 23, 24 years old, came out and absolutely lit it up. He's only going to get better. I mean, Doug Flutie,
sure,
when he came to the CFL, he'd already had a stint in the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah, but what's not the saying that he gets a major knee injury in his first year and he's never what you think he would be? That could happen.
Of course.
That could also happen. I mean, you can't predict that.
That could happen to any player.
But you can't predict him winning a whole bunch of games either. We will never know unless he gets sick of trying in the NFL and he comes back in the next couple of years, which I don't think that's going to happen.
No, he's making $900,000 as a third-string quarterback for the Pats right now.
Right.
One injury from being moved up and making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody says, oh, he's going to get sent down to the practice roster. The Pats carried three quarterbacks last year. There's no reason why they wouldn't this year.
Mm-hmm.
They did change a rule down there. Did you hear that? So last year when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he got called up onto the active roster, and they had to pay him for three games.
Yep.
Okay? They can only do that twice in a season, and
right,
they did it twice.
Right.
And then they put on waivers, and he got taken. Anyhow, now they changed the rule that they can bring – anybody up off the practice roster for one game on the game as a game day decision. Any amount of times during the year.
Oh, is that right?
Did you hear this rule change for them?
I heard something about that.
Yeah, so this will definitely benefit him if he gets sent back down to a practice roster, but I don't think he's going to with the Pats right now, so we'll see what happens. I mean, they're going to take a quarterback in the draft. If they don't take a quarterback in the draft, then Rourke's guaranteed a position on the sidelines. But if they do, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I wish the guy all the best, and I'm not going to talk about NFL anymore. We've talked about it way too much in this show, but I hope that he does great. I hope that he's, you know, has a great career down there, and if he doesn't, BC Lions are always looking for you. I hope. I mean, you know, Vernon Adams could take off and win the next two Grey Cups, and then it's really a tough decision when you came back. I mean, same as Adam Big Hill coming back mid-season and BC not having a place for him. He ends up in Winnipeg. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The future is not set in stone by any means. Okay. I'm sorry. The last two articles, I can't talk about. I have nothing to say.
I was just throwing those in. We don't have to talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, it's six risers from the 2024 CFL Combine. Yeah, and five potential sophomore standouts. When is the draft?
Early May, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Usually, that's what it usually is.
The CFL draft is April. No, that's the combine. No, I think it's April 30th, as they said.
Okay, yeah. Wouldn't be the combine because the combine's already done. I think or almost over. It's on right now.
I just looked at the five sophomore standouts. I don't recognize any of their names. So.
And why would you?
And I did watch a lot of football last year, just saying.
Yeah, I don't see this happening. So here's the draft order. It's Edmonton, Ottawa, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Toronto via a trade with Hamilton, BC, and then Hamilton via a trade with Toronto. Montreal. Round two, Calgary has two picks because of a trade with Hamilton. Nothing exciting.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely nothing exciting. I have nothing to say about the draft. Okay, so we got 10 minutes left in the show here. Where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about now? William, do you have anything special that's worthy that you want to have up for discussion?
No.
I mean, Charles kind of shot his wad with the agenda, so we can't really expect too much more. Oh, it was Chad Kelly's birthday yesterday. Did everybody
great.
In Toronto get a day off? Like, it's a stat holiday for them, isn't it? When your hero has a birthday? Isn't that the way it goes?
It depends on who he accosted when he was out partying for his birthday.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah. Okay. I know I said we're not going to talk anymore about the NFL, and I'm going to. Only because I love this one. I put this post up yesterday, and it says, I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but the NFL went to court and legally said that the NFL is not a sport. It is, in fact, an entertainment business. Okay? And then further down, it says the NFL is a private business, so it is entirely legal for it to predetermine the outcome of its games, just as the WWE does. Ultimately, it needs to be no different than a scripted television series. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. WWE, Charles, you're a bit of a fan, right?
Yes.
There's no sports betting on that.
I do not believe.
I don't think so. They don't allow betting.
That would be like anybody who works for WWE, that would be like shooting fish in a barrel, literally, because they're all outcomes. And even if you're like a smart fan, you can really, if you pay attention close enough, you know what's going to happen in advance. So there's no betting on WWE.
Okay. So if the NFL was scripted and the games were predetermined winners, do you think the sports betting companies would take bets on them?
Not a chance. No, they will not take bets on something that's predetermined.
Nope. The NFL would lose so much money.
So?
Because people would not bet on the games anymore.
Well, people wouldn't bet on the games. Why would you? Would people continue to watch the games? I mean, the WWE has a huge following.
Yeah, that's
even though
it's a different thing, absolutely.
You go into the WWE knowing it's not real and it's scripted. When you go in to watch an NFL game, you do not believe that there's any sort of predetermined outcome.
Okay. Now, there are players, and Charles, you and I both know one of them, who will tell you that a Grey Cup game was fixed.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And we'll swear up and down that it was. And we'll give you phenomenal amounts of evidence that you can't argue with.
That person was there. I wasn't. So I have no idea. I have no reason to
100%
suggest what he's saying is not true.
And he's not the only one. So do you believe, William, that any of these games are predetermined?
No, I don't. I mean, doesn't this all go in that category of conspiracy theorists? Okay.
Oh, 100% that this does. 100% this does.
What
sure
Grey Cup are you talking? What Grey Cup got fixed? Which one?
2004, BC Lions, Toronto Argonauts.
Who won?
Toronto.
Okay. I don't know.
And here's the answer, and I'll give you the slight evidence in which was handed to me, and not all of it. They were literally running the ball down the Toronto's throat the first half. They came out in the second half, and they didn't run the ball again.
Yeah.
But we
see that all the time in all CFL games.
Teams make adjustments.
Teams make adjustments, or
coaches think they're smarter than everybody else and they do different things. Because why would you do something that
100%.
Works?
100%. So, Duncan O'Mahony. Do you remember him, Charles?
I do.
He was pooch kicking the entire game to stay away from the Toronto kick returner. And in doing this, gave Damon Allen half a field the entire game. Okay? There's no reason, no way that a team is afraid of the kick returner so much that they would do that.
That's two. And the game finished. It was a 2 o'clock start. It finished at 6 o'clock Toronto time. Okay? And BC
yep.
Lions had chartered a plane to leave at 9. 3 hours after the game.
Yeah.
If you win a Grey Cup, there's
you're not going anywhere.
Your team is getting on an airplane in 3 hours.
Well.
The players were throwing their helmets. They were screaming at after the game in the locker room. The coaches refused to go into the dressing room. This is what the players are telling us. We weren't there.
Right.
So why would Wally Buono throw the game? I don't know.
That's one of the reasons I have my doubts about a game getting thrown, because I could not see Wally Buono throwing a game. But
you know what? You can say that with a bunch of things, okay? Let's face it, okay? So let's take two games in particular. Let's take the 2016 Grey Cup. Calgary is on the 1 or the 2 or the 3 yard line. They got Jerome Messam in the backfield, who's a huge back, and they try a quarterback sneak with their third string quarterback.
Andrew Buckley.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. Okay.
Seattle Seahawks on the 1 yard line.
That was the other one I was going to bring up.
I was going to bring that up too.
Intercept it. Like, and you've got the biggest running back in the NFL on the 1 yard. Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes
Give
no
him the
sense.
Ball.
But then people are going to start calling us tinfoil wearing people, tinfoil hat wearing guys. And so.
But you have to wonder, did they do that because the game is thrown, or were they just trying to confuse the other team by doing something they weren't expecting?
Correct.
Well, they obviously didn't confuse the other team, did they?
No, but they might have thought they might have.
I was going to say, how about in other games where there are blatant penalties and they don't get called?
Yeah.
And I know referees can miss stuff, but you got 6 fucking referees on the field. Come on. Really?
That's it?
Yeah, something that blatant. Okay, guys, this is the end of the show. So this has been Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 568. I've been your host, Christopher Jones. Thank you very much for listening to us. I appreciate it. And we'll coming back to you next week. We'll see if there's more to talk about and see if we can do this again. Rick might be back. Who knows? Charles, say goodnight.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
We didn't talk about Chad Kelly at all this show, really, you know, except for the fact that it was his birthday.
We beat that dead horse enough.
Oh, no, we could do it. We could beat it some more, maybe next week.
Oh, yeah, we could beat up on Chad Kelly some more. He'll probably do something stupid the next week.
Between now and then, he's going to do something stupid, yeah, 100%. William, you say goodnight.
He will. Good night, everybody. My question is, where is Rudy 2.0? Not that we need him, but where is he? He just goes
managed.
To the...
I haven't even seen him online at all.
No.
Me either.
No, he's
so
gone.
So who knows? I guess
okay.
so.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.